Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City-based jazz saxophonist Carlos Ferreira. He has had a long road in music that led him here to Kansas City. Prior to this, he was in New Orleans, and I caught him outside of Kauffman Stadium playing with the guitarist to some appreciative folks. He opens up about living in St. Joseph, Missouri these days, his life in jazz, the future, and so much more. Enjoy.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
What's up, man? How's life?
Pretty good.
Hey, I got to tell you, the other night when I ran into you, so my wife and I, we've gone to a couple of these over the last couple of years, and it seems like every time I go, the game is just dismal. Like, nothing's really happening. It's 1-0, grinky pitch. I'm like, we got to get out of here. It's ninth inning. You know, and it's the only way they're going to win is if we're not in here. So we get out, and then we just stop, and we hear you, and she looks over at me because she knows, you know, Neon Jazz. Like, when I hear jazz, like, everything stops for a minute. I'm like, where's that coming from? You know, we go out, we do our thing, we get in the car, and all of a sudden the crowd heats up, and they win the game. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, man, that would have been so good to be in there because we never experienced that. But at the same time, there was a serendipity into running into you. And as superstition works, if we would have been in there, they wouldn't have won it. So we had to get out.
Dang. Well, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, me too, man. Well, hey, dude, it's great to run into you. It's great that I appreciate you taking a minute out today, and I'm looking forward to getting into it about your life and music.
Yeah, thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. So let's start off here with, as a professional musician, the last couple of years on planet Earth has been pretty tumultuous, to put it lightly. How did you survive COVID, and how did you change as a result?
Before COVID, I was living in New Orleans. I love that place. You know, there's so much music going on all the time. Late 2019, we moved back to Missouri to be closer to family and my wife's job. So we were here, and then COVID hit, and it was pretty rough for a while. I mean, at the time, I had a day job, so I just got back into town and was, you know, trying to line up some gigs, but I was working as a waiter. So luckily I had some of that COVID help, like the unemployment or, you know, those checks from my job, that helped out a lot. You know, it's a horrible situation, and I had a close family member pass away. But for all the bad, I mean, the good thing was I had a lot of time to practice. And at the time, I was studying with Matt Otto. So I'm still studying with him on and off. He's just an amazing teacher and learn a lot from him. Once things started picking back up, you know, last year, I was definitely anxious to get back to the music scene, and it was nice. You know, we do a lot of busking, Eric Ray and I. He's a guitar player, and you know, you saw us. So it was nice to get back out in the streets, and you know, people were anxious to see live music, and they were very generous. But yeah, that was good.
I can imagine. What have you been doing lately? I mean, I know I ran into you outside the K the other night, but what kinds of things have been going on? What are you anticipating as kind of the year unfolds and hopefully things keep getting better?
The summers are pretty busy for us busking, you know, outside venues when there's a lot of people. When they come out, you know, they get to enjoy some live music as they walk through and you know, tip us if they like it. And so we go to Lawrence and all over KC. We've been going to Branson, and there we have a regular gig at a restaurant, Ramata Italian, every other Friday. So Branson's been pretty cool. It's quite the drive, but you know, there's a lot of tourism down there too. So after our gigs, we'll go out, we'll busk for the rest of the night, or sometimes we stay over and stay the whole weekend and busk down there. So we stay pretty busy with that. A couple weddings, wedding receptions, and here in a few weeks we have a fundraiser for Helping Hands Humane Society of Topeka. But mostly we busk. You know, it's pretty nice because, you know, we decide, you know, we're going to be here today, and we just show up, set up, play some music, and we don't have to necessarily wear our suits and ties, and we kind of make our own schedule, and we do all right. You know, gigs at times can pay better, but a lot of places aren't financially viable. Like, you know, you get a couple $100 and a lot of times we can do better than that busking. So it's nice.
You know, this whole time I've done this show and I've talked to musicians all over the place, I never knew that there was an actual term for that, like being out there in front of the people on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned that one too when I started doing it. Yes, and a lot of people are like, what's that? Busking? Basket? Yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but yeah, there's a lot of it in New Orleans. I mean, I think when I was there, I was already aware of the term.
I'm curious, going back into your lineage, and you know, you mentioned New Orleans. Take me back to your childhood and how you kind of got the seeds of music and jazz and picked up the horn.
Well, I'm from Uruguay, South America, originally. Let's see, I was born there, 89, and I moved to Missouri in 2001 when I was 14. And there in Uruguay, you know, that's where, well, Uruguay and Argentina, we fight over where tango started. And Carlos Gardel is the, like, one of the most famous tango singers, and we say that he was born in Uruguay, they say that he was born in Argentina, but... So I used to listen to a lot of that on the radio. My mom would always put it on. And my uncle was a ballet dancer at the National Ballet. And, like, he would do, like, the Nutcracker and all that. So I would go see him dancing, and I would see the orchestra, and always loved classical music. So, I'm one of those lucky people that I kind of always knew what I wanted to do. From a very young age, and I was able to pursue it. And so when I got to the States, I was in eighth grade, and I found out there was a band at the school, so I wanted to play the clarinet. And so my mom got me a clarinet and started playing the clarinet. And so high school, I got into the bass clarinet. And then jazz, I think my junior year, I got into jazz, and I played in the jazz band on the tenor sax, but I hated it because the mouthpiece, the vibrations of the mouthpiece just didn't feel good. Like, it was just too much for me compared to the clarinet. So then my senior year, I still liked jazz, and I wanted to be in the jazz band. I asked my teacher if I practice the trumpet all summer and take lessons, and then are you going to let me audition? So he let me audition, and so my senior year, I played trumpet in jazz band. I made, like, last chair, but at least I made it. Then in college, I did a couple of years of college and on the bass clarinet mostly, and then, you know, clarinet marching band. But there wasn't really a, you know, clarinet in the jazz band in college. And... you know, from high school, I learned like a few blues scales, and I wasn't too good at it. So I didn't really do jazz in college. And after 2 years, I kind of, you know, I was too busy, you know, partying and doing other stuff besides studying. So I dropped out. Wow, that was like 2009. And I was working waiting tables, and I worked at a bank as a teller for a few years. I was also working nights at a restaurant at the time, and at this restaurant they wanted to start some live music. And the owner knew that I played the clarinet, and I was kind of, you know, practicing a little jazz at home, but mostly just some backing tracks and blues scales. But then this restaurant, they wanted some live music, so I put a little trio together, And ever since then, you know, I've been in love with it. And I got a couple more gigs after that. And somebody's like, do you play the sax? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I borrowed a tenor from a buddy. And I played a few gigs on the tenor. And I was like, man, I gotta get one of these, because the clarinet is cool, but most people want to hear the sax. So I got a lot more gigs after that playing the sax. And yeah, ever since then, I've just been, you know, working towards my dream, you know, just playing music full time. It's awesome. I love it.
You know, the one thing that is always huge for people is that first live jazz show or live performance that they see. What was that for you? What was the performance you saw live that made you think, man, I'd love to hop up there and do that?
You know, I can't quite remember one time that I saw, you know, like I said, when I was little, going to the ballet and seeing my uncle dancing and seeing the orchestra. I just loved that. But in high school, you know, once I live in St. Joseph's, it's like 45 minutes north of KC. But I would still get down to Kansas City, and I think some of the first jazz that was like, oh my God, that's amazing, I want to do that, was probably Matt Otto. Yeah, any time, like, I would look up on the, you know, the KC jazz calendar, or I would try to find wherever he was playing and make time to go down there and listen to him. And he's always been a huge inspiration. So after years of kind of studying on my own, I kind of mustered up the guts to ask him if I could take lessons from him. Because for a long time, I didn't think I was, like, quite there. Didn't know enough to, like, take advantage of how, you know, all his knowledge. And, but yeah, the past 2-3 years I've been taking lessons from him. I've learned a lot. And it's amazing. He's a great teacher. Great dude.
Yeah, I've seen him live a number of times. I remember one time Dave Scott came back to town from New York, and it was the Black Dolphin. And he, I don't know what was happening that night, but anytime he would get into it, he was wailing and going in a way that place had never. It was one of the few times in an intimate setting like that everybody literally stopped and just, like, honed in, and he was on it. I mean, it was almost as though he was channeling some sacred spirit of Coltrane. But, you know, it was pretty magnanimous. So speaking of that, what do you like the best about being a part of the Kansas City community and the city? What is it that you like the most?
I'm a big history buff, so it has a lot of history for sure. I love learning how, like, one style of music got from one place to another and how it developed and the people that made it happen. So definitely, like, one of my early influences that I love the sound, that I fell in love with the sound, was Coleman Hawkins. And we claim him here in St. Joseph. I think they claim him in Topeka, too, because he went to Topeka High, so that's, you know, he's the godfather, you know, of the tenor. And then Lester Young, you know, he made a name for himself up here too. And of course Charlie Parker, he's the GOAT. So I love that aspect of it, and, you know, it's very welcoming. You know, there's a lot of jams that I met a lot of great friends. Yeah, I have a lot of fun playing the KC style, like that, the hard swing, with my buddy Eric Ray on the guitar. That he, him and I, like, the style that we prefer, that we play a lot, is that riff kind of KC style. We set a riff and we kind of go back and forth, backing each other up behind our solos. And there's a lot of that style of music in KC, and in the late night jam at the Foundation. That's awesome when I can make it there. That's one of my favorite spots.
If you could get into a time machine and go back in time, the Jazz DeLorean, so to speak, and you could catch a show, where are you going? Who are you going to see?
You know, New York and the Vanguard and all those places, Mittens, and one of my favorite musicians of all times is probably Monk and Charlie Rouse. That would be awesome to be there at one of those clubs when they were playing. Wow. That would be, yeah, that or I would love to see Duke Ellington and Johnny Hodges to be there live to see that sweet alto sax sound. That, yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Why do you love jazz?
Like I said, music has been a big part of my life. It's kind of like a safe place. You know, you can express a lot of emotions through music. I love classical music, but jazz just gives you the improvisation aspect of it. You can really speak your mind with it. Yeah, it's just in the collaboration between musicians. Like when you're on stage, you know, you're playing what you feel and somebody else is feeling something else. Somehow you're all in tune with each other. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's magical. It's like a conversation that you could never have with words, but the feelings that you share are just amazing, and I'm a fiend for that for that rush. Like, that's why I love going to like jams, because at jams I get to meet new people, and you're kind of on the edge of like something could go really wrong here or it could go really good. And yeah, I always feel like I learned something new about a way that I can improve my playing, or just something, you know, the just being there in the community with all the musicians. Yeah, I love it.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but you have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are? What's your idea of you?
Huh. Me? Well, family comes first. Definitely my wife and my nephews, you know, my mom and brothers, and that's my priority. At times I've been on the road with bands, and there was a time for that, but now I kind of stay around here because, you know, I like to stay close to my family. And I don't know, the perception of, I'm kind of shy, but outgoing at the same time. When I first meet people, I might be a little reserved, but once I get to know them, I'm a open book, just about to anybody. Just a family guy, and with a lot of art, a lot of love for creative expression of all kinds.
Beautiful, Carlos, man. I'm glad I left the game. I ran into you and they won, so I think everything worked out pretty good. So thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it, man. Good luck with everything.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York City, New Orleans, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Carlos for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.